Our lesson this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 28, verses 11 to 21. 250 years after Solomon, Hezekiah's scribes copied more of Solomon's Proverbs from separate works, and they comprise Proverbs 25, 1 to 29, verse 7. So we view some of these collected Proverbs of Solomon in Proverbs 28, verses 11 to 21. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you grant us to be able to gather together here this morning. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to do this. We continue to pray for government leaders over us, that they would function in ways that allow us to continue to live peaceable lives in godliness so that the Word of God can be broadcast and that it can reach out and disciple people in the world. We ask this morning that as we get into the Word that we can understand the text and be able to use it and apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read the verses out of the King's English, out of the King James Version, and then we'll go back to the Hebrew and translate them. Proverbs 28, beginning at verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor man that has understanding searches him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. And of course, we're going to have to retranslate that to get the understanding flow of what's going on. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes or abandons them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that always fears, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and as a raging or a charging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that does violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. We're going to have to retranslate that to get a feel of it. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall suddenly or at once. He who tills his land shall have plenty of food, but he who follows after vanity shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, and for a piece of bread that a man will transgress. Once again, we're going to have to translate these to get the flow of what's going on. Proverbs 28:11 teaches that a nobleman, this is the Hebrew word ish for nobleman versus the Adam, which is a common man. A nobleman who is rich is wise in his own eyes, but a reduced poor man with understanding, discernment, examines him. And the context examines him so as to expose his lack of wisdom. So, in that particular culture, especially if a person was wealthy, he was looked up as being a wise person, as someone who was outstanding, because normally people were blessed financially only if they did that which was obedient to the Lord and whatnot. But in some cases, there were people who were not wise who became wealthy because they took advantage of other people. But a man who has been reduced or is poor or who has become impoverished, dal is a Hebrew word there. But if he has understanding, discernment, this is a understanding that is based upon discernment. Discernment means to sift between things. And this is exactly between what is good, bad, right, and wrong, etc. So a person who, even if he's poor, he has the capacity to examine this rich man and he can discern his lack of wisdom. Paul comes close to saying the same thing in Corinthians. Remember, Corinthians says, he that is spiritual judges all men, yet he is judged of no man. There's a real discernment ability that comes when a person is walking with the Lord and a wisdom that comes with it. So he can actually discern what's going on around him in the lives of people around him. So it shows the tremendous value of wisdom. Proverbs 28:12 asserts that with a triumphant exaltation, this is the Hebrew word alas, but in the context it means exaltation that is given in reference to triumph, coming to power. So with the triumphant exaltation of the righteous, Great is the glorying, or great is the boasting, but with the rise to power of the wicked, even the common man is searched for. And the reason he's searched for is because he hides himself. In other words, you even have to look to try and find the common man because you just don't see him. The reason is the common man is hiding. This demonstrates the effects of righteous versus unrighteous leadership. This can happen in any organization. It can happen in a nation. If righteous leadership comes to power, it causes even the common man to relax and to rejoice and to exalt and to blossom. But if unrighteous leaders get into power, what it does, it oppresses especially the common people, because unrighteous leaders will take advantage of anybody around them, including the impoverished. And the impoverished feel beaten down. So one of the ways to test whether their leadership is actually righteous or not is the reaction from especially those who are down and outers, the poor people. Do they feel relaxed? Do they feel like they can blossom or not? So this is a verse that is used, or a proverb that is useful in reference to ascertaining the rightness or the wrongness of leadership. Proverbs 20:18, verse 13 claims, "He who covers or who hides his transgressions will not experience prosperity, but he who acknowledges or confesses," yada, either one, "and forsakes," azab, in other words, he abandons, he stops doing that which is wrong, "is greatly," or is shown, "greatly shown compassion." And this would be greatly shown compassion primarily of the Lord, but this can also be of a leader in a government situation or an ecclesiastical situation, whatever. So it is never worthwhile to cover, to try to hide one's sin. Person is always better off coming clean, getting his laundry aired, so to speak, and confessing and acknowledging what he has done that is wrong and forsaking it. He will be shown compassion if there is an adjustment, if there is a genuine change that occurs. People, especially overseers, have a tendency to be much more lenient than a person who tries to cover what he's doing. So always come clean. If we've done that which is wrong, clear it up with the Lord and clear it up with people who are over us in the Lord. Proverbs 28:14 teaches that blessed is the common man, Adam is the Hebrew word for common man, who is continually in great dread. Now, both the English Standard Version and the New International Version add "of the Lord," as though this fear is of the Lord, but in the Hebrew text, the word "of the Lord" is not there at all. All it says is, "Blessed is the common man who is continually in great dread. But he who hardens his heart will fall into evil, misery, distress, or injury." Now, the reason they would come up with the idea of the Lord is that any authority figure over us is an authority, a figure that the Lord has allowed to be set up. We know this from Scripture. Let no man, you know, there is no power that exists except it be of God, Romans chapter 13, in reference to human government. God sets up masters over us. Paul repeatedly says, "Servants, obey your masters as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord," because there's a chain of command that God has arranged, God has set up. So for all practical purposes, you can add "of the Lord." But I really believe that the author of Proverbs here was talking about any authority of figure who has been sanctioned by God. We need to live in respect, deep respect of that authority figure. And if we do that, and if we are continually in respecting of the authority figures who are over us, we will be blessed. But if we harden our heart, we will fall into all sorts of things. Ra'ah, the Hebrew word ra'ah is, it can be evil, it can be misery, distress, injury, everything that we would term bad is included in ra'ah. It's interesting, we're going to learn in the sermon later this morning. Just before Jesus was age 12 up in Nazareth, there was a second violent revolt, tax revolt by Hebrew farmers against the authorities that existed. And the Galilean Jews were known for being sort of hot-headed and extreme right-wingers and so forth. And so what happened, the Roman soldiers came and destroyed a lot of the crops, and they took thousands of the Hebrew children captive, and they took them to another country captive. That didn't apparently happen to Joseph and Mary's children. And the reason it didn't is because they happened to be submissive to the authorities. They were not involved in this tax revolt. They stayed away from it. They were God-fearing people. They recognized that government authority figures over them were figures that God had set up, and so they stayed away from that. And thankfully, they obeyed the government. As a result of it, our Savior got to stay in the land, and of course, the Lord was able to use him to fulfill prophecy, and of course, carry on his ministry there and die on the cross, like, as he was called to do of the Father. But Jesus had other brothers and sisters, we know from Matthew chapter 13. They were not taken captive. So it's very, very important to make sure that we are in great respect. It's interesting, this verse the Lord used in my life very powerfully this past week. I had written a letter that I was going to send to a party. And I had some reservations about even sending the letter because I just didn't quite know if it was the right thing to do or not. And every time I thought, well, I think I better send it, the Lord, through circumstantial evidences, just time and time again indicated, no, don't. And so I recognized that, you know, if I'm not absolutely positive that the Lord wants me to do this, I better not. I need to get a clear signal from him. But this verse kept popping up in my head, Proverbs 28:14. So it's amazing. The Lord makes you eat your own, you know, a pastor's kind of like a cook. He helps prepare the food, you know, for the people. But the Lord makes you eat your own cooking first. So I had to eat it this week on that, and I appreciate the Lord's application of his word in my own life. Proverbs 28, verses 15 and 16 together actually are a single proverb. But they assert in verse 15, a roaring lion and a charging bear is the wicked who rules a reduced or a poor people. It's the Hebrew word dal again, that's found in verse 11. And then verse 16, a ruler who lacks understanding is great in extortions, but he who hates unjust gain or gain by violence will prolong his days or his lifespan or his rule. The picture here is of a man who is a ruler who is like a roaring lion and a charging bear in the effect that he's taking tremendous financial advantage of people that is incredibly unjust. Huge taxation or extortion and whatever. Such a ruler is all he does is destroy like a lion does, and he terrorizes the people, and it makes the people unproductive. In the end, if you let roaring lions and charging bears loose on people, it destroys the people. So in the end, the ruler himself and the nation is hurt. But a person who is a good ruler is someone who does not extort money from people. He's very, very mindful. And this is an emphasis, once again, on the common man, or the guy who's down here in the low echelons. A good ruler is a person who is concerned about people in the lower echelons and shows mercy. One of the main purposes of leadership is to protect and to guard people who are the most vulnerable, whether it's a ruler in a nation, a ruler in a church, ruler in a family, a ruler in a business situation, whatever we can do to protect and to help people who are most vulnerable. That's one of the key responsibilities of oversight. So we can't let loose of that. We've got to stay with that truth. Proverbs 28, verse 17, claims that a common man, Adam again, oppressed with the blood of a life principle. And the life principle is the Hebrew word nephesh that was used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God made man a nephesh with physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual life. So in other words, this is a person who suffers guilt because he has murdered somebody, all right? So a common man oppressed by a guilty conscience over murder, if you want to paraphrase it, until the pit of the grave will he flee, will he be a fugitive? Let no one support or let no one uphold him. So this was in a day when sometimes justice was not carried out, but a person's conscience would bother him because he had murdered somebody else. And Solomon says, if you run across a person like that and his conscience is bothering, don't help him. He actually should be executed, because that was the sin and that was the crime of murder. He was supposed to be put to death. This is a very strong verse in regards to capital punishment itself. It doesn't actually come out and teach it, but there is absolutely no mercy that is to be shown to a person who, in first-degree murder, takes the life of another human being. It's not right. It's wrong. When a person kills another human being, he kills a person who is taken in the image of God. What makes that person's life valuable, intrinsically valuable, isn't the person himself. It's the fact that he's made in the image of God. Murder is a crime against God. It's a crime against someone made in God's image. And God says, if you murder someone in my image, you lose your right to bear my image. It has to be confiscated, and that's why your life has to be taken. It's not an issue of preventative. It's not man's rule. This is God's rule. When we get away from the fact that man is made in the image of God, then the rationale for capital punishment has a tendency to be neutered, and it goes out the window. And this is why we have problems today with people feeling, you know, how can I, as a person, kill another human being in capital punishment? Well, if it were just our decision, no, we probably wouldn't have the right, because, you know, who makes me that much better than the murderer? I could be a murderer if I had the wrong upbringing too as well. We can argue that. But the point is, God says, I made human life, and if someone has the gall to take another human life in my image, that person has to lose his right to bear my image, capital punishment. So Solomon really implies that strongly as well. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 18, teaches that he whose walk has integrity, tamim, will be delivered or saved, yasha. We get the word Yeshua, from which the word Jesus comes from this. He will be saved. But he whose ways are perverted or twisted will suddenly fall. So integrity is incredibly important. And a person with integrity will be delivered in a questionable situation, but a person whose ways are twisted will suddenly fall. It's amazing in court cases, I've seen some of these when we did have a television, when people were truthful and candid with the judge, straightforward, if there came a question as to what that person said, the judge more often than not would give this person the benefit of the doubt. But if a person showed up in court and the judge perceived in one area where they were twisted, all of a sudden, boom, that whole person's credibility went out the window, and the judge wouldn't listen to anything else that the person had. And most of these judges, they quote a Latin phrase, which I keep forgetting. The idea is you have to come to court with clean hands. If you come to court and there's something that's wrong, and you have some dirt on your hands, then the judge has the right to throw out absolutely all your credibility, because the judge has to make a judgment based upon your person and your presentation. But if you come to court with clean hands, and everything that you can demonstrate shows that you're upright, the judge will have a tendency to give you the benefit of the doubt. Okay, Proverbs 28:19 asserts, he who tills or works his land, Adam, and the word land is, it can also mean the word ground. This is talking about farming. Will be satiated or satisfied with bread, lechem. We get the word Bethlehem, Beit Lechem, house of bread, or house of grain. The word lechem is actually the word grain, but it also doubled for the word food. So if you work your land, you'll be satisfied with bread or with food. But he who pursues vain things or vain endeavors will be satiated again with poverty. Rish is the Hebrew word poverty. The point is, we need to make sure that we pursue solidly reputable ways to earn a living over just going after pipe dreams. That's very, very true. You know, someone wants to make you a snake oil salesman, look out. You know, that's not the way to go. We need to follow routes that are solid. And we can apply this in principle in lots of areas in regards to business. If we know that there is a sure way, a solid way to earn a living or to get a deal done, we need to go with a solid way as averse to something that might not work, because if it might not work, it can be dreadfully expensive by the time you put the time and the energy and the investment in it and find out that it doesn't work.
So you're always better off going with the solid route. When you're buying a car, selling a car, or something like that, make sure you're going the legal route. Make sure the paperwork is there before you get into trouble. Proverbs 28, verse 20, claims that a nobleman of faithfulness, or a faithful nobleman, will be greatly blessed. But one who is pressed, or who makes haste to gain riches, will not be exempt from punishment. This is a nobleman who, the one who's not faithful, the one who, because he's under pressure, and because he makes haste, because he hurries, he cuts corners. And when he cuts corners, he's found out. And he has to pay. The word punish can also mean pay the fine in the passive sense. You're going to end up paying the fine. So whatever we do, we don't want to cut corners. The best time is to take your time and to do that which is reliable in order to earn a living, in order to make progress. If we rush, we're going to be in trouble. Proverbs 28, verse 21, or get into trouble. Verse 21 teaches to pay regard to faces or to show favoritism is not wholesome. And it cites Genesis 1:31 here. Tov, the word wholesome, is the word that is used to describe the good universe or the wholesome universe. It's the word that it's in balance, right? So to pay regard to or to show favoritism is not wholesome. But for a fragment or a morsel of bread, even a mighty man, this is the word geber, for a man who is capable of being a warrior. It's man conceived as being a macho man, a person who is in the height of his powers and ability and intelligence as a man. But even a mighty man will transgress, even for a fragment of bread. It's very interesting. We should not show favoritism. We should not, it's simply not wholesome to do so, but it's possible that even a mighty man, if he's hungry enough, he will cheat. So you have to be careful on two ends. If we're dealing with a person who is oppressed or who is hungry or who's under tremendous pressure, we need to be very careful because that person is very liable to be open to doing that which is wrong. We also need to watch out for ourselves. When we get into a situation where we're desperate for income, or desperate for food or some particular need, we are also very, very wide open to sin. So we have to be that much more careful. This also would imply that it's wise for us to make sure that we're taking care of our financial resources, that we're budgeting, that we're managing them well enough so that we don't put ourselves into the position of an impoverished state so that our temptation to sin goes up. So we need to be very careful to manage ourselves. It's actually to our benefit in terms of righteousness to be good money managers. It really is, because it keeps ourselves out of temptation. Very interesting proverb there. So may we align with God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. Okay, we'll open it up to you for questions, for feedback. If you had something that you would like to talk about, it could be in regards to the issues that we've covered or some of the proverbs or the contents that we've covered this morning. It certainly doesn't have to be if there's another issue that has come.